Our reading for Wednesday, August 19th is going to come from Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in my priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I mentioned to you in yesterday's reading that chapter 15, at least in the beginning of it, is a continuation of what we found in chapter 14. Chapter 14 focuses on that unity that they needed to have, that they didn't need to pass judgment on each other, and that we needed to allow matters of liberty, matters of opinion, to stand and not to be a stumbling block or a hindrance to others. So when he gets into chapter 15 and he says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves, he's telling them, you don't do this in order to build yourself up or puff yourself up. You need to adopt a course of action that builds up others. Don't place yourself higher than anybody else. You're all equal, you're all unified, you're all in the body of Christ. So he says in verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now, if you had any doubt about whether you ought to bear with others and focus on taking care of others before self, verse 3 answers that question and puts you in your place, because he says even Christ had this same attitude, that he was not trying to please himself, but he was taking care of the needs of others. That's what we need to be doing, is looking to the needs of others, building each other up. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing as members of the body of Christ. He says that those things written in former days were written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. And he talks about the God of endurance, the God of encouragement, granting to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. And if you were one of those that might be quarreling with somebody else, and you read these last couple of verses that I've looked at, verse 3 through 5, you're going to feel kind of small. You're going to feel a little ashamed because you're not living up to the example of Jesus. And so he's telling you, live up to the example, embrace unity, embrace your brother and sister. Even if they do have a different idea on whether you can eat that meat or they got to only eat vegetables, whether they can, you know, engage in certain holidays, as he's given us examples in chapter 14. In other words, those matters of opinion, we need to respect those things. And we need to look to build each other up. We need to look to help each other to do. As he says in verse 6, that together we may one with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. We're not here to please ourselves. We're here to glorify God. And we cannot glorify God if we cannot get along with each other. So he says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Then he gets into verse 8. And he says, I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. So the circumcised would be the Jews. But he adds in verse 9, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. So then he begins to quote these several passages. And he quotes several from various parts of the Old Testament. He finishes in verse 12, quoting from Isaiah chapter 11. He also had quoted from Psalm 117, Deuteronomy 32, 2 Samuel 22, Psalm 18. So he's taking from several places in the Old Testament to show this is nothing new, and it was all prophesied, and it is to the glory of God that this happens, that you be unified, Jew next to Gentile within the church. That you become brother and sister. You become one body together. For there is one Lord and there is one body. So verse 13 he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. But understand, we're not in that position to have that hope if we cannot adopt unity. I know that we value our own opinions. And I think sometimes in our modern day, we think too much of our own opinions. We think everybody ought to listen to our opinion. When it comes to serving God, my opinions are mine. But if God has spoken, then that's the end of the matter. That's all that we need. Adopt what God has spoken. In verse 14, he starts to say, I am satisfied about you, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to instruct one another. On some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. So he says, I have great confidence in you, even though I've had to speak to you in a pretty bold way about these matters. And what he's telling them is, you're mature enough to accept this. You're mature enough to move past any problems that you're having here. And understand that as an apostle to the Gentiles being sent to them, that he needed to help them accept the Gentiles the way he, as a Jew, a Pharisee, would accept them. And regarding his work of preaching the gospel, especially to the Gentiles, he says, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. And then he he basically says, I've gone all over doing this. I've gone all over in order to bring the Gentiles to obedience. And for me, I'm reading between the lines a little bit, and I think that he's telling the Jews, I've worked hard to bring them in. Don't you dare do anything that's going to harm those brothers and those sisters in the faith. They are now just as much a brother to you as you would be to another Jew. Again, that's my thoughts on it, but that is supported by all that he's written within the book of Romans so far. Verse 20, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where it has already been named, lest I build in someone else's foundation. Paul was going out and preaching the gospel in areas that had not yet received the gospel, planting those congregations, and he did that extensively. Verse 21, as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Then in verse 22, he begins to talk about his plans. Sometimes Paul does this in his letters to tell him, I'm hoping to do this. We saw that when we were reading through the Corinthian letters. But he said, this is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you. I think what he's talking about is that there was so much work to do in these areas that did not have congregations. Rome did have them, and so there wasn't a huge need for Paul to go there. That doesn't take away that he wouldn't like to know them personally and visit them. So he says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. It's unclear whether Paul ever made it to Spain. Where we don't have anything within the inspired scriptures to tell us that he did. Some of the uninspired writings from the first century say that, well, he was imprisoned and then released and he made it to Spain and then he was imprisoned again. But again, those are uninspired, so we don't know that for sure. So we don't know whether he made it to Spain, and he says that he was going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. So at the time that he's writing this, this is right toward the end of the account that we have in the book of Acts. And he makes reference to that help that was being brought to aid the saints in Jerusalem. We've talked about that previously on several occasions in our readings. And verse 28, when I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by Jesus, by our Lord and Savior. He's telling them, you know, I'm one with you just as I'm telling you to be one with everybody else in the body of Christ. And he says that they should strive together with him in their prayers to God on his behalf. In other words, he's soliciting their prayers. He's asking for their prayers for the success of his work. And also that he be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that his service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will he may come to them, that his joy will be refreshed in their company. All right, we will pick up with chapter 16 tomorrow and finish up the book of Romans. Please come back at that time, but until then, please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.